Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. We've helped over 20,000 wedding parties get suited up. And here's the deal. You don't need to rent a suit. For about the same price, you can own one that's perfectly tailored for you. Over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make it so easy. Whether your groomsmen live nearby or out of state, we've got everything covered. Trust me, this is the easiest part of planning your wedding. Stop by Nick's Menswear and let us show you why we're the fastest growing suit company in the country. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Rodgers back to pass. Blitz coming, and he's dropped for a safety. A.J. Epinesa beat the doors off Carter Warren. Back to pass, has time, looking, throws deep over the middle. Picked off by Christian Benford. Coming the other way, 35, 40, to the near sideline, 45, and forced out of bounds.
I thought it was great to see, you know, CB get that pick. Thought he had a chance earlier for one, and to reset and be able to come back and get that pick. Big, big play for us.
It's Mike Shope.
Pocket collapsing, throws down the right sideline, looking for Cooper. What a catch by Amari Super Cooper with a leaping 30-yard touchdown reception.
And the Bulldog.
We didn't really pay attention to the preseason notions, but we heard them and we saw them and we knew what people were saying, but had no effect on us. We just came in the training camp and tried to work as hard as we could.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We saw them. We knew them. We didn't care. We noticed them. We didn't listen. We heard them. Didn't affect us. Josh Allen and the Bills on this Football Monday. Welcome. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year. Want to keep the conversation going at 803-0550. I've got Eric Wood today and Sal Capaccio as well. Much like last week, where Wednesday was the holiday, our schedule, theirs, is a little different. So Sal will probably be on tomorrow too, and things get truncated a little bit. But much of what we could have had to debate today has already been settled. You know, like the conversation about resting players, I mean, they didn't need to be thinking like that yesterday, and they weren't. Everybody played all out, win the game, clinch the two. That's what happened. And now this game is basically like a bye. Not quite like a bye. You have to play it. But I feel like Allen will probably play just a small handful of snaps to keep his streak going for consecutive starts. And after that, it'll look like somewhat like a preseason game looks. I think James Cook, if you want to debate this, is an interesting player to talk about with that in mind, like who plays and who doesn't. 15 rushing touchdowns. I could see it go either way, where Cook doesn't play at all, or he plays a lot with a lean toward that record. You are playing a Patriots team that, if it loses, would have the number one overall pick, which on some level that should matter to somebody over there. Maybe not, you know, your starting outside linebackers, but I would think that New England might break ties against, well, Drake May. If you watched the Patriots-Chargers game on Saturday, pretty early in that game, he took a headshot and left the game, and I immediately went, all right, well, here goes this, because I was kind of looking forward to this game. I had picked New England, you know, +4.5 on the on the picks on the show and thought it would be an interesting test for the Chargers. Then May goes down so early. Why would they put him back in? But they do, and they still lose 40-7. So that's a second concussion, I believe, for him. And with number one overall on the line with a loss here against a Bills team that probably won't play its big guys here, I'd be scared to win it if I were the Patriots, which makes the plan I've had for a couple of months to go to this game that much more exciting. Does either team bother to try to win this game, you know, in the traditional ways? So you've got New England here. Who plays, who doesn't is a topic. We have the playoffs, of course, and who that first opponent will be. We know now that if the Bills are going to win the AFC, either somebody else is going to have to win in Kansas City, or they are. And nothing you can do about that quite yet. Denver is interesting here. I don't see Denver as like scary at all, but I say that just, you know, relative term. Would you want to play, you know, you're going to play somebody, and anybody could beat you. Denver is the last team to beat the Bills in Buffalo in the regular season, that Monday night game last year. And Bills go undefeated at home this year. So you've got Denver, Miami, or Cincinnati. Cincinnati, for me, has always been the scary one. You might not agree, but the Bengals will need to win and have Denver and Miami lose to get in. And if they get in, they get that spot. It is interesting that the two AFC North games are on Saturday. And there almost always will be an argument against whatever gets picked, you know, probably if it's going to be meaningful. Can you set it up in an island game where other teams can't benefit from knowing how you did? That's pretty tough. But I think it's fine. So you'll have Cleveland at Baltimore first. Baltimore wins the AFC North and the three if they beat the Browns. They're an 18-point favorite, which is almost as high as an NFL line ever gets at home against the Browns. They have to compete. If they had put the Ravens and Steelers games on simultaneously, say Sunday at 1, they would still have had to compete there. So I don't think that really is too meaningful or, you know, controversial at all. This way, maybe the Steelers, if the Ravens win on Saturday, the Steelers might not feel it necessary to go all out for their game. They're already in the playoffs, and they'll either be the 5 or the 6. But what would you say about that? 5 is at Houston, the 4. 6 is at the Ravens, the 3. Would the Steelers prefer the Ravens? I think as much success as they've had against Baltimore, I would doubt it. So I think they want to win the Bengal game. And the fact that the Broncos and the Dolphins, you know, the Broncos situation doesn't change just from Cincinnati. I think it's fine. I think it's good. And I thought of this too, and I want to bring this up with Sal later. The Ravens and the Steelers, not the other two AFC North teams, the Ravens and the Steelers are both already on long rest. So you move them up a day, and I think what maybe matters more is that they could end up playing next Saturday in the wild card round. And this way the league avoids putting those teams on short rest for that game. So not something I was thinking about before the schedule came out last night. So you've got the two AFC North games on Saturday and the Bills and the Patriots from New England Sunday at 1. 803-0550 for your calls. I hope to hear from you off of yesterday. Yesterday was one of those parties, wasn't it? Of the Josh Allen years, where you're just sort of reveling in the Bills' dominance. And you're playing Aaron Rodgers, who can't get anything done against your team, and that's a really satisfying win. If not super important, it's important enough, but that is a really satisfying win, I think. Football Monday on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Thinking about, really, I think this is maybe the story today. There's always the playoff possibilities. There's the MVP. There's who to rest and who to play, whatever you want to do this week. I just wanted to take a minute to just contemplate and talk about how dominant, fully dominant, this team has been in their division in these last, well, it's 5 years, right? This is a fifth consecutive AFC East title. And they have just taken everybody apart. What is the outlook for the other three teams at this point? You have the Dolphins, who still have a chance to get in, but they have clearly not been on the Bills' level when it's mattered in the past. And this year, you know, twice, it was a long time ago now, but when they had their chances this year to change that script, they couldn't do it. So Miami is a level below. The Patriots are multi-levels below. The Patriots had, however, a 20-year run of their own just prior to this that is still relatively recent. Still, what is their outlook? That was my question, I think. Their outlook is Drake May and maybe another coaching change already. That seems weird with the Patriots and what they might do there. There could be another change. And they still need a lot more good players, a lot more talent on offense, to say the least. And then you have the Jets, whose outlook is, I mean, it's down there. If they're going to make, they probably should. They'll make a coaching change again. They should change quarterbacks again. It's fun to think that they may not. It's fun to think that they might want Rex Ryan back. I was wondering, you take the three other teams in the AFC East and ask yourself, which of these three teams is the most, to put it one way, owned by the Bills right now? Miami with the playoff losses and the close, good effort, good job, good effort with Miami in these last few years. The Patriots are still figuring out a new future after the Brady era. The Jets yesterday, what is that feeling like right now? You know, just collectively, the fans, whatever. The Jets had to watch, just like the Bills did, Brady just owned them for two decades. The Jets did have the 1 year, which the Bills didn't, against New England, and they went to the playoffs and beat them, and that had to feel good. And then that died quickly. So at least they had the one moment. But they had all those years with New England, very similar to the Bills, all those years, the butt fumble and all the just meaninglessness of the Jets' seasons. And then Allen shows up here, and the Bills move in on New England's space. They take over the division. They start lording over it like this. The Patriots still have the fairly recent past to try to cling to. The Dolphins have been pretty good. The Jets have nothing. And they make the move for Rodgers, which is, hey, we'll try anything. You know, we need somebody. Yes, he's old, but he's an all-time great. We can do this. I supported it. I mean, I thought it made sense for the Jets to make that move. It has not, ready? It has not worked out. But I think, you know, I could have justified that. And it's just made it from bad to worse. You know, the Jets, who were already kind of nowhere, they take this gamble, and now they're here where you don't even know if Rodgers won't be able to force his way back and just sort of continue this charade. It is really fun to watch him lose. It is really fun to watch him just get buried in that
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Backfield and have the Bills yesterday just dominate them. I think of the three, and this is, of course, debatable. I think of the three, it's the Jets are the one who should be like just the most completely emasculated and humiliated by what the Bills have come to be in the AFC East. And there is no, this all three of them might have in common, there's no clear way out. I mean, the Jets can find their way to the next quarterback hope, whoever that might be, in the draft. By the way, on that, this is also just a way that their situation is not enviable. to say the least, again. At 4-12, that's the seventh pick. I mean, what should 4-12 ever be at worst in the draft? And, you know, maybe they'll lose this week. They have the Dolphins, and maybe that'll get a little better. But there are four. It's good at the top of the draft order. There are four 3-13 teams: Patriots, Titans, Browns, Giants. The Giants went and won yesterday. That was smart. And then you have Jacksonville, Carolina, Jets, Raiders, Bears, all at 4-12. New Orleans feeling like it's so smart at 5-11. That is the 10th pick. So that's not easy for New York either to figure out. And that would just be, if we had some sort of a ranking of fans and, like, how good do you feel? What is the Jet thing? Longest drought in the NFL, the Rodgers debacle, and then, I don't know, 10-point underdog. They've been feisty against the Bills last few years. We'll see. And just complete annihilation. 40-0 at one point. Yikes. Which AFC East team has had it the most with the Bills? I think the Jets are my pick. The Dolphins are a good argument, too, because of the playoffs. I mean, it might be worse to have been close. Just like, there's just nothing to make you feel any pride at all with the Jets right now. So enough about them. One of my worst predictions ever, thinking that they would be good, and they're terrible. Football Monday on WGR. Here's Anthony. Hello.
How you doing, Mike?
Good.
Mike, at all costs, I want to avoid the Bengals in the wild card. They've given the problems. You know that. I want to avoid the Bengals at all costs.
Well, there's a good chance you'll be able to. Okay, thanks, Anthony. Yeah, I mean, the Bengals need to beat Pittsburgh and then have Denver and Miami both lose. That's how they get in. I don't disagree. You want to avoid them, so would I. I was talking on one of my podcasts earlier, ADP Chasing. Davis Maddock joins me with Pat Corain, and Davis is a Chiefs guy. And we talked on the post-game show yesterday about Chiefs-Denver and how, of course, I mean, Mahomes is going to sit, probably Kelce. The Chiefs have nothing. They're interesting, though, for this because they will have the following week off, and maybe you could look at this another way. But, you know, they're going to, of course, they're 9-point underdogs. I mean, nobody's expecting them to play their main starters against Denver, which means if they lose, Denver is in. And my guy Davis was like, wouldn't you rather have, if you were the Chiefs, wouldn't you rather have the Bengals go to Buffalo? Not that you can really fully control that. Wouldn't you rather have that? And I said, well, yes, but if they win, then you get them too. Like, in that, the Bengals have been tough on the Chiefs in the same way. Here's Mike next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good.
Hope you can have a good new year. Fun yesterday. Everything going great with the Bills game. And I had bet Josh to have 2 touchdowns running and 2 touchdowns passing. And I was so excited when they had first and goal from the one and then they gave it to Cook. But otherwise, I just think the Jets have become the laughingstock of football. I mean, the amount of money that they're spending on guys. I mean, Devontae Adams next year is $44 million on the cap. Rodgers is still another $23 million on the cap. They've got a few very good football players, but as a whole, their team is just the laughingstock. They're, you know, bad coaching. I mean, you fire your coach after 2-3. You bring in an interim coach. You fire him. It's just they've become a laughingstock, and it's I love it. I personally love it. 14 years. It'll be 15 years next year.
Right.
Have a great new year.
Thanks. You too. The one thing about, like, I'm not a culture guy, but when you're desperate, like they kind of always are, it's just, like I said, I would have done it too. It's maybe a little bit too tempting to, so to speak, sell your soul for guys. And so Rodgers, all right, well, maybe he can still play. And I don't have anybody better. And I'm in New York. So let's do this. But what it also meant was surrendering, to some extent at least, I mean, people think it's to a full extent, surrendering control over your roster to him. And now you've got, and that extends all the way into this year and the Adams trade, which they made when they were like 2-6 or something like that. What, something like that. Like they were not in win now position, and they still traded, you know, draft capital and money for Davante Adams. And Davante Adams, he was just okay yesterday, but he's been pretty productive for them, and it has meant nothing. So now what do you have? Now you have Adams, the caller mentions his cap number, but he's at least going into the offseason, he's still a good player. All right, well, I might want to keep him. But if I don't, what does that mean for Rodgers? Like, can I keep Davante Adams and not keep Aaron Rodgers? It sounds like maybe you can't have both because they want to be together. And they've got Garrett Wilson, who is about as good as Adams, if not better. And he's young. And he doesn't get along with Rodgers, reportedly, again, just like on some level. So you've got this rift and this obligation and everything. I would think Brandon Bean would tell you this. Everything you want to avoid as an organization is giving up, kind of like losing control to a player, the players. And what they need now, which seems obvious, is somebody just to come in and not care about any of that. Well, speaking of the Jets, like the way Parcells would have and did with the Giants and then later with the Jets. I'm going to be in charge of this, and nobody's going to tell me what to do, and that's what you get when you get me. I don't know. Is he still around? Would he be interested? Let's hope not, maybe. Like that's when it's like really off the rails. And I probably didn't appreciate when the Jets got Rodgers that it would, you know, if you will, sink to that level, because there still should be management and ownership and enough people, you know, in power positions or quote power positions in an NFL organization that would preclude that from happening. But it doesn't look like it did. He goes out week one last year anyway, misses the year. And then this year has just been worse, actually. So if we were they, that's what I would be. You know, it's maybe like the Sabres a little bit. Forget about everything that's happened. Drop any sense of obligation you have to anyone or anything. And go get, if I own the team, go get somebody who can run it, that has credibility. I'm going to have to spend money on this. One reason why the Sabres have never done it. But I'm going to go spend money on a guy that can get me off the mat and at least to the middle. And the Jets continue the longest playoff drought in the league, sitting at 4-12. Like they're not even what the Sabres were 2 years ago, like seemingly on the cusp of something. Well, the Jets are always fun to laugh at. The Bills have scored 30 or more points in every game since the first Jet game, but one. And that was last week against New England. That's pretty good. They're not in every one of these games, including yesterday, running up huge yardage, huge plays. And so with that, for me, and this is also true of Kansas City, but Kansas City has the added benefit of the doubt of three rings. That's what the playoffs, that's what makes me not concerned, but that's what I'm asking myself about this Bills team and the playoffs, is the efficiency enough against other good, efficient teams, better defenses, better everything? Is that enough to carry them? Because we have not had, like, we're all waiting on Amari Cooper, right? Maybe not everybody, but that's one thing last week that I brought up a few times and fans did too. It's like, wouldn't you like to see Amari Cooper convince you that he is like embedded in this, that he's their wide receiver one? He made a play yesterday, but there have just been not many plays. The Ram game, when he had tons of targets, is it when it comes to volume. And that doesn't have to be a problem. Like, they're winning almost all these games, and that's the one game they didn't. And so you have game script like yesterday. The Allen's out by the fourth quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. I don't know. But that is something that I still have been saying forever and would still say, man, I would love to know that I have that in the playoffs, that I have 6 for 80 and a touchdown from Cooper, whoever I'm going to play. And we don't know that. Like, there's still a team that has been able to run it fine and find different guys, different things. Could be fun to try to figure out who will be the player in this game Sunday to score the receiving touchdown that hasn't scored one yet this year. Like, that came up yesterday and in postgame, how I think the Bills, I think Allen would like to see one more guy get up to their record or the record, whatever it is. This is not a record I grew up caring about. But I guess they're one player away from having, is it 13 different receivers catch a touchdown pass this year, which would mean something. Now, who should that be? Pick somebody for me. 803-0550, Football Monday. Thoughts on yesterday, the playoffs, the strategy here against New England, who to play, who not to play, anything along those lines. I want to just look around, love this time of year in football, the NFC playoff picture, the possibilities this weekend in the AFC, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Ravens, all those teams. And Saquon Barkley, now at 2,000 yards, 100 away exactly from the all-time record. They, like the Bills, are locked in as the two. What do you do with Saquon Barkley? And maybe it should be up to him. I saw on Twitter somebody tweet that about Cook, that maybe it should be up to Cook. What would you do on that one if you were Sean McDermott? Leave it up to the player? That's tricky. 803-0550, again, is the number here. Bulldog is off until Thursday. Happy New Year, and thanks for listening. Football Monday. Eric Wood at 4 today. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.